The ninth of Av is the darkest day on the calendar for the Jews. It was on the ninth of Av that the 10 spies came back with a negative report concerning the promised land. It was on the ninth of Av that the first temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Babylonians. It was on the ninth of Av that the second temple was also destroyed on the ninth of Av. The final solution to the Jewish problem was crafted and published and rolled out on the 9th of Av during the Nazi era. What's the connection between the 9th of Av and October the 7th, 2023? A very dark day in Jewish history when a terrible tragedy of massacring of women and children and Holocaust survivors and civilians asleep in their beds took place by Hamas. Here's the connection. An amazing, brilliant documentary is coming out on August 3rd. It is called After October: Stories of Loss, Survival, and Unbreakable Faith. Sign up today to watch this inspiring documentary of stories of unshakable faith in the midst of unimaginable tragedy. The link is in the description box below. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 4th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 1:31-46. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sakes, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight, just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and drove you back from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. 2 Chronicles 35:1-36, 23. Then Josiah announced that the Passover of the Lord would be celebrated in Jerusalem on the appointed day in early spring. The Passover lambs were slaughtered at twilight of that day. Josiah also assigned the priests to their duties and encouraged them in their work at the temple of the Lord. He issued this order to the Levites who had been set apart to serve the Lord and were teachers in Israel. Since the ark is now in Solomon's temple, and you do not need to carry it back and forth on your shoulders, spend your time serving the Lord your God and his people Israel. Report for duty according to the family divisions of your ancestors, following the written instructions of King David of Israel and the instructions of his son Solomon. Then, stand in your appointed holy places and help the families assigned to you as they bring their offerings to the temple. Slaughter the Passover lambs, purify yourselves, and prepare to help those who come. Follow all the instructions that the Lord gave through Moses. Then Josiah contributed from his personal property 30,000 lambs and young goats for the people's Passover offerings, and 3,000 bulls. The king's officials also made willing contributions to the people, priests and Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the administrators of God's temple, gave the priests 2,600 lambs and young goats and 300 bulls as Passover offerings. The Levite leaders, Conaniah and his brothers Shemaiah and Nethanel, and Hashabiah and Jeiel and Josabad, gave 5,000 lambs and young goats and 500 bulls to the Levites for their Passover offerings. When everything was ready for the Passover celebration, the priests and the Levites took their places, organized by their divisions, according to the king's orders. The Levites then slaughtered the Passover lambs and presented the blood to the priests, who sprinkled the blood on the altar while the Levites prepared the animals. They divided the burnt offerings among the people by their family groups so they could offer them to the Lord according to the instructions recorded in the book of Moses. They did the same with the bulls. Then they roasted the Passover lambs as prescribed, and they boiled the holy offerings in pots, kettles, and pans, and brought them out quickly so the people could eat them. Afterward, the Levites prepared a meal for themselves and for the priests, because the priests have been busy from morning till night offering the burnt offerings and the fat portions. The Levites took responsibility for all these preparations. The musicians, descendants of Asaph, were in their assigned places following the orders given by David, Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer. The gatekeepers guarded the gates and did not need to leave their posts of duty, for their meals were brought to them by their fellow Levites. The entire ceremony for the Lord's Passover was completed that day. All the burnt offerings were sacrificed on the altar of the Lord, as King Josiah had ordered. All the Israelites present in Jerusalem celebrated Passover and the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days. Never since the time of the prophet Samuel had there been such a Passover. None of the kings of Israel had ever kept a Passover as Josiah did, involving all the priests and Levites, all the people of Jerusalem, and people from all over Judah and Israel. This Passover celebration took place in the 18th year of Josiah's reign. After Josiah had finished restoring the temple, King Necho of Egypt led his army up from Egypt to do battle at Carchemish on the Euphrates River. And Josiah and his army marched out to fight him. But King Necho sent ambassadors to Josiah with this message: "What do you want with me, King of Judah? I have no quarrel with you today. I only want to fight the nation with which I am at war. And God has told me to hurry. Do not interfere with God who is with me, or he will destroy you." But Josiah refused to listen to Necho, to whom God had indeed spoken, and he would not turn back. Instead, he led his army into battle on the plain of Megiddo, He laid aside his royal robes so the enemy would not recognize him. But the enemy archers hit King Josiah with their arrows and wounded him. He cried out to his men, "Take me from the battle, for I am badly wounded." So they lifted Josiah out of his chariot and placed him in another chariot. Then they brought him back to Jerusalem, where he died. He was buried there in the royal cemetery. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah. And to this day, choirs still sing these sad songs about his death. These songs of sorrow have become a tradition and are recorded in the Book of Lamentations. The rest of the events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion done according to the written law of the Lord from beginning to end are recorded in the Book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. Then the people of the land took Josiah's son Jehoahaz and made him the next king in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he became king, but he reigned only 3 months. Then he was deposed by Necho, the king of Egypt, who demanded a tribute from Judah of 7,500 pounds of silver and 75 pounds of gold. The king of Egypt appointed Eliakim, the brother of Jehoahaz, as the next king of Judah and Jerusalem, and he changed Eliakim's name to Jehoiakim. Then Necho took Jehoahaz to Egypt as a prisoner. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. But he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Then King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and captured it, and he bound Jehoiakim in chains and led him away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also took some of the treasures from the temple of the Lord, and he placed them in his palace in Babylon. The rest of the events of Jehoiakim's reign, including all the evil things he did and everything found against him, are recorded in the Book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. Then his son Jehoiakim became the next king. Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, but he reigned in Jerusalem only 3 months and 10 days. Jehoiakim did what was evil in the Lord's sight. In the spring of the following year, Jehoiakim was summoned to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Many treasures from the temple of the Lord were taken to Babylon at that time. And Nebuchadnezzar appointed Jehoiakim's uncle, Zedekiah, to be the next king in Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and he refused to humble himself in the presence of the prophet Jeremiah, who spoke for the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, even though he had taken an oath of loyalty in God's name. Zedekiah was a hard and stubborn man, refusing to turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the leaders of the priests and the people became more and more unfaithful. They followed the pagan practices of the surrounding nations, desecrating the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, repeatedly sent his prophets to warn them, for he had compassion on his people and his temple. But the people mocked these messengers of God and despised their words. They scoffed at the prophets until the Lord's anger could no longer be restrained and there was no remedy. So the Lord brought the king of Babylon against them. The Babylonians killed Judah's young men, even chasing after them into the temple. They had no pity on the people, killing both young and old, men and women, healthy and sick. God handed them all over to Nebuchadnezzar. The king also took home to Babylon all the utensils, large and small, used in the temple of God, and the treasures from both the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He also took with him all the royal princes, Then his army set fire to the temple of God, broke down the walls of Jerusalem, burned all the palaces, and completely destroyed everything of value. The few who survived were taken away to Babylon, and they became servants to the king and his sons until the kingdom of Persia came to power. So the message of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah was fulfilled. The land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rest, lying desolate for 70 years, just as the prophet had said. In the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy by stirring the heart of Cyrus to put this proclamation into writing and to send it throughout his kingdom. This is what King Cyrus of Persia says: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He has appointed me to build him a temple at Jerusalem in the land of Judah. All of you who are the Lord's people may return to Israel for this task. May the Lord your God be with you." 1 Corinthians 1:1-17. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sosthenes. We are writing to the Church of God in Corinth, you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did all Christians everywhere. Whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and theirs. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you his grace and peace. I can never stop thanking God for all the generous gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. He has enriched your church with the gifts of eloquence and every kind of knowledge. This shows that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong right up to the end, and he will keep you free from all blame on the great day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will surely do this for you, for he always does just what he says, and he is the one who invited you into this wonderful friendship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I appeal to you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony, so there won't be divisions in the church. I plead with you to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your arguments, dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, "I am a follower of Paul." Others are saying, "I follow Apollos," or "I follow Peter," or "I follow only Christ." Can Christ be divided into pieces? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, for now no one can say they were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speeches and high-sounding ideas, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Psalm 27:1-6. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord protects me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to destroy me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will know no fear. Even if they attack me, I remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Proverbs 20:20-21. If you curse your father or mother, the lamp of your life will be snuffed out. An inheritance obtained early in life is not a blessing in the end. I want to speak to you from our reading today from 2 Chronicles 35 and 36. And in these two chapters, we read of the incredible heroism of King Josiah, of all the reforms that he made when they uncovered the book of the law that was buried in the rubble of the temple. He read the book and tore his robes. Massive repentance took place. He read the book to all of the people, and then it began to cleanse the land of all of the idols and tear down the Asherah poles and remove all of these false gods and cleanse the land. It was tremendous, tremendous. And then they also renewed the keeping of the feast of Passover. And then he died. He was killed in battle. And after that, we had a very wicked king, King Zedekiah, who came into power. And all the things that Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied about what was going to happen to Israel happened because they had turned away from God and they had fallen into idolatry. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and punched through the walls of the city of Jerusalem, broke through the walls, and destroyed the temple, burned it down, and all the people were either killed or taken captive. And it was a very, very, very sad day in Jewish history. Now, the destruction of the first temple happened on a very significant day on the Jewish calendar, on the 9th of Av. The second temple was also destroyed on the 9th of Av. The German Nazi solution for the Jewish problem, for the problem of the Jews, which was their solution was, of course, to extinguish, to annihilate, to genocide all of the Jews. That decision, that plan was issued and went forth on the 9th of Av. The purging of Jews in Spain, the pogrom of pushing them out, happened in 1492 on the 9th of Av. It's a very, very dark day in Jewish history. And so I'm going to relate that all to what's happening today. On October 7th of 2023, a tremendous slaughter happened, and Hamas soldiers and also civilians who are in alignment with Hamas came and butchered Jewish people in the Gaza envelope and did horrible, horrible things. And so there is a wonderful documentary that comes out on August the 2nd and 3rd, which is this year on the calendar, that is the 9th of Av, August the 2nd and 3rd. And this documentary is called After October, Stories of Loss, Survival, and Unbreakable Faith. In a moment, I'm going to play the trailer to this documentary. It's a minute and a half long. And I highly recommend that you go and you watch this documentary. It's free. And to watch the documentary, it came out on August the 2nd. You would go to the website AISH.com/9AV. And I will put the link in the description box below, where you can watch this documentary. And it's going to be very inspiring and touch your heart about the Jewish spirit regarding all of the Jew hatred and the anti-Semitism that erupted into explosive, terrible violence against the Jewish civilians, moms and dads and Holocaust survivors and babies and children on October 7th, and that has seemed to have lit a fuse of Jew hatred throughout the world ever since then. It was latent, it was hidden, it was buried, but after October 7th, it has come out in just tremendous ways. And so please watch this documentary. It's, once again, the website is aish.com/9AV. Finally, I'm going to share a quick news story that talks a little bit about the documentary. It's from Israel365News.com, and the story headline reads, "After October, Stories of Loss, Survival, and Unbreakable Faith, New Documentary to Premiere on Tish B'Av, the 9th of Av." Aish announced today the release of the highly anticipated documentary film After October, Stories of Loss, Survival, and Unbreakable Faith, set to premiere worldwide on August 3, 2025, coinciding with the Hebrew date of Tish B'Av, the 9th of Av, the Jewish day of mourning, following on the success of last year's film, October 7th, Voices of Pain, Hope, and Heroism. The new 60-minute documentary, hosted and produced by Jamie Geller, global spokesperson for Aish, offers an intimate glimpse into the lives of individuals and families forever changed by the events of October 7, 2023, and the subsequent conflict. This film is not just about documenting tragedy, it's about honoring the extraordinary resilience of the human spirit in the face of unimaginable loss, said Jamie Geller. Each person who shared their story with us demonstrated remarkable courage. Their willingness to open their hearts, despite their pain, speaks to the profound strength that emerges from our darkest moments. These are stories that need to be told and remembered. Through exclusive, previously unseen family footage and deeply personal interviews, the documentary follows four powerful narratives, including a father who witnessed the murder of his pregnant wife as they traveled to welcome their fourth child, only to lose their newborn son just 15 days later. A mother navigating profound grief after losing her husband, who fell as a hero while serving in the IDF. A young man who endured the agony of believing his brother was held hostage for 14 months before learning the devastating truth of his murder by Hamas on October 7th. And an IDF soldier, the eldest of eight siblings, confronting the void left by his father's death during service in Lebanon. Rabbi Steven Berg, CEO of Aish, and co-producer of the film, emphasized the documentary's significance. On Tish B'Av, we commemorate historical tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people. But the day also teaches us that we never lose hope. This film connects our ancient tradition of remembrance with contemporary suffering, reminding us that throughout history, the Jewish people have transformed grief into purpose and hope. These stories, though heartbreaking, ultimately affirm our collective resilience and unbreakable faith. Please click on the link below to visit the website and register to watch this documentary. And now, here is a short 1.5 minute clip movie trailer to the documentary.
My best friend, my partner in life, the father of my children.
Hey, Chava, and hope to see you soon.
He cares about playing sports. He doesn't give up.
I see her, and I see like this glow around her face and like her hair. I was like, wow, she's so angelic.
10 years ago already, my father didn't have to go to Miluim, but of course he is there.
Very late at night, we hear a knock at the door. They are sorry to inform me that my husband has fallen in battle.
was a video of a tank on fire. I was able to match a logo on the tank to the name of Omer's unit.
He shot like a whole bunch of bullets at her.
We all had a hug. That's like our last time I see him.
When my car doesn't turn on, when Achia doesn't want to do homework, that is the moment that I break down.
I know he wants for me to keep living my life, to keep pushing myself.
We have to be strong because we want to be strong for ourselves, but also for our children.
We got this huge backpack now to carry, which is not simple and not easy, but we're not going to stop life. We're going to continue life. They killed him, but they're not going to kill us.